An American nomad, David Novak had lived in 23 different states before he was 13 years old. Now 68, Novak credits his unique childhood for teaching him the lessons that would one day land him at the very top of the business world.
That, I think, helped me tremendously because I had to go into new situations all the time.
In this episode of Influencers, I speak with the former Yum Brands co-founder and CEO about his experience running one of the world's largest fast food companies, challenges to the global economic recovery, and the power of purposeful recognition in leadership. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Influencers. I'm Andy Serwer, and welcome to our guest, David Novak, co-founder and CEO of David Novak Leadership, former CEO of Yum Brands. David, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Andy. Looking forward to this.
So I want to talk to you about your leadership endeavors, but need to ask you a little bit about the restaurant business and what's going on in the economy first. So, of course, it's just been a very tough time during COVID for the restaurant business. And I'm curious what you make of how places like your former company, Yum, have fared during the lockdown. And a lot of these companies have focused on mobile apps and delivery. Does that make sense to you? Or what's your sort of general take, I guess, then?
Well, you know, mobile apps, delivery, off-premise consumption, all of that was a trend that was happening before COVID. But what COVID did is it just accelerated everything. So I think, you know, 2021 looks like 2025. If you know, Yum Brands, I know, reported their earnings last week. They had $5 billion in digital sales, okay? They have a $20 billion run rate. That's 40% of what their revenue is these days. And, you know, what has happened is that during COVID, you know, the consumer created a new habit, a more pronounced habit, and that was eating at home, okay? So delivery's booming, curbside carryout's booming, the whole off-premise segment is just taking off. So, you know, I do this How Leaders Lead podcast with David Novak. And, you know, so I've interviewed Dan Cathy from Chick-fil-A, Niran Chaudhary at Panera Bread, Brian Nickel at Chipotle. You know, I've talked to David Gibbs at Yum. You know, absolutely, those brands are on fire. They have great sales growth. Their margins are at an all-time high. And what's happening is the consumer just has more money in their pocket with all the stimulus spending, and they're spending it on food.
Right. What about trends in food and eating, David? I'm curious. For instance, in fast food and QSR, quick serve restaurants. So, you know, they've got the healthier options here over here, and then you've got people just want some comfort food or convenience over here. How do you reconcile those two trends?
Well, I think that the best way to reconcile them is that there's different segments. You know, there are people who want certain things, and the restaurant category is so huge, you can make a living focusing on each and every one of them. You know, the typical quick service restaurants, they bring you quality food conveniently at great value. You know, you've got the fast casual, it's a little bit more expensive, but that's where you see more of the niche plays for better for you. I mean, if you look at Panera, they try to do food with integrity. You know, Chipotle's trying to do the same thing. You know, so I think, you know, the most important thing in the restaurant business is that you make great tasting food, because people aren't going to eat something that doesn't taste good for very long.
I want to ask you about a misstep in your career, David, and you were famously behind the development of Crystal Pepsi. You talked about the lessons you've learned there, but I'm wondering, how did you personally bounce back in the years that followed, and what lessons can people draw from your experience?
Well, I think every leader has what I call an epic fail, you know, something where, you know, just, you know, you like to play over again and again. And believe me, I've relived those Crystal Pepsi days. But, you know, when I went to Pepsi, Pepsi was in need of turnaround. The business was not doing well. So I developed the idea of a clear cola. The only issue that I had, the consumer loved the idea. It didn't taste enough like Pepsi. And, you know, my big learning was, is I had franchise bottlers tell me, David, it needs to taste more like Pepsi. You're calling it Pepsi. And, you know, I didn't listen to them because I thought it was such a big idea. If I would have listened to them, given them a little bit more Pepsi flavor notes, I'm convinced that Crystal Pepsi would still be around today. But I was able to survive it because, number one, the business, you know, did take off when we launched Crystal Pepsi. I mean, everybody tried Crystal Pepsi. It was like a gigantic In-N-Out product, but people didn't come back and buy it again. So it didn't have the sustainability that I was hoping for. And I when I look at this, I always say, geez, what if I would have just made sure it was a better product, tasting a little bit more like Pepsi? I think it'd still be around today. And by the way, Andy, they brought it back, I think, a couple of years ago as a limited time only offering at Pepsi. So, you know, I think it's, it had a niche. We just didn't make it as big as it could have been.
Or was it maybe a little bit ahead of its time because, you know, now it would have seen being perceived as cleaner or healthier and you know, that the clear, you know, like the way vodka took off at the expense of bourbon, right?
I think it was a little bit ahead of its time. But frankly, that was the reason why I developed it, because back then, you know, the water business was booming. Clearly, Canadian was one of the hotter products. And so everything that was clear was growing. And so that was it, because it was perceived to be better for you. And that was why I said, well, look, if all these clear products are doing well, why don't we just make a clear Pepsi? And, you know, it was a breakthrough idea, poorly executed.
A lot of your work since leaving Yum has been around what you say is developing leaders at all ages.
Right.
Does America have a shortage of leadership at the moment? And if so, where is the deficit and how does the country fix it? Yeah.
Well, I think that America clearly has a deficit. You know, Gallup polls will tell you that almost 80% of people go to work every day and they're not engaged. You know, and why is that? I think that's a failing of leadership. You know, the biggest problem that people are looking for at work is they're not getting coached. You know, I think 70% of people would like to fire their boss. Okay. People would work for less money if they had a different boss. You know, so I think leadership is a huge problem. And one of my big passions and one of the things that I did when I was at Yum Brands is I taught a leadership program called Taking People With You. And I did it for, you know, 15 years, taught it to over 4,000 people in the company, including our franchisees. And so I actually wrote a book called Taking People With You. And, you know, I took that and developed a leadership curriculum, taught that to our people. And then I said, okay, how do we take this and take it into the schools? So we have a program called Lead for Change, which is the largest privately funded leadership development program in the United States. We have like 14,500 educators signed up every year for this now, and we've reached about 2 million people as we celebrate our 10th anniversary. So we've got 2 million students that have gone through this, and we teach people how to lead, how to take people with you, and then how to apply that to community service. So these kids team up, and then they take their learnings and then work on a community service project and do good in the world. So, you know, it's amazing. I think you can teach people how to lead, but, you know, not many people are doing it.
You know, I saw a video online where you were speaking to an audience, and you went through the Yum cheer.
Right.
And by the way, do you realize that Yum and Yahoo, what they have in common? Two things. They're both started with Y, and they both have the exclamation mark after them.
There we go. That's right.
So we got that in common here.
Yeah, but two great brands.
Does that cheer really work? You need Y and the U and the M?
You know, I've always felt that the biggest thing you can do as a leader is bring energy wherever you can go. And so I start out all my meetings by doing a Yum cheer. And it's like doing the Y-U-M. It's like the YMCA that everybody's danced to. And I've given all kinds of speeches to all different kinds of companies. And there isn't anybody that after they do it that doesn't have a smile on their face. So, yeah, it works. And I don't know if you have a Yahoo cheer, but maybe you ought to come up with one.
Yahoo. No, we do that a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
So what characteristics, what traits would you say are essential to being a great leader?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do this How Leaders Lead podcast, and I've done it with all kinds of leaders, from Evan Spiegel from Snap to Tony Hsu at DoorDash to Brian Cornell at Target, heads of Starbucks, Adobe, Workday, all these great CEOs. I think the one trait that they all have in common is they are avid learners. I mean, they are constantly learning, constantly looking for ways to not only up their own leadership, but also find new ways to take their company to the next level. So I think being an avid learner is absolutely a key trait. The other thing is that the best leaders are humble. They're humble enough to know that they can't do it all by themselves. And, you know, they're confident. They're confident in their capability, but they know that nothing big happens by themselves. So they're humble enough to know that and to get other people involved. And I think the third thing that is absolutely essential is they know that talent is everything. You know, you have to have great people. And so they try to create a work environment and a culture where great people want to participate, want to lead. They know they're valued and that they count. And, you know, the great leaders don't delegate culture. I mean, they take they take charge of culture because they know that that's going to ultimately be the big driver.
What about purposeful recognition? I think that's a phrase use. And is that a must-have leadership skill? And can you explain what that is and what you mean?
Well, purposeful recognition, every business has four or five behaviors. It's usually the cultural behaviors that the companies want to drive in their organization that will get results. And so purposeful recognition is, let's say you're in technology. You know, you want to be innovative. You want to meet your deadlines. You want to be on budget. You want to have great collaborators. So let's say those are the four big things that drive your company. Purposeful recognition is identifying those four things. And every time you see them as a leader, you recognize those four things. Because what happens is people do more of what you recognize. When I was CEO of Yum Brands, the thing that I was, you know, most proud of is we had a world-renowned recognition culture. I mean, everybody in our company had their own recognition awards. We used it to drive performance. But we recognized the behaviors that we knew would get great performance in our restaurants. You know, teamwork, positive energy, collaboration, you know, constantly, you know, recognizing people for doing good things. So when we saw those behaviors, everybody recognized them. And guess what? Everybody did more of it. And, you know, recognition is a wonderful way to really create a lot of fun in your company as well. You don't want to take, you know, you want to take the business seriously, but you don't want to take yourself too seriously. And by having fun recognizing people and celebrating other people's success, we were able to get great results.
Amen to that. I love that stuff, recognizing people. I think that's super important. Couldn't agree with you more. Hey, what about diversity and inclusion? What can business leaders do, David, to make that more of a priority?
Yeah. Well, that's really a big hot button today, and it's critically important to every business leader. I think the first thing you have to do is you have to own it. This is not something where you just, you know, say, oh, I got to get a diversity officer and put them on this. Now, if you really want to make diversity work, you got to spend time on it. I did a How Leaders Lead podcast with Steve Reinemann, who's the former chairman of PepsiCo. And PepsiCo was the leader on the diversity front. You know, they bonus people on diversity. They did a lot of things to really make it important. But what Steve said made it really go is that he spent 30% of his time on it, you know, really making sure that they had diversity, people knew how important it was, that they were developing products that could work in multiple markets. But he made diversity something that he was absolutely passionate about, and everybody else knew it. And, you know, leaders cast shadows. You know, people do what the leader does. And, you know, I think Steve makes a great point. If you want diversity, you better spend a lot of time on it. And I'm seeing a lot of people do that. Steve, you know, Steve Squeri at American Express. I mean, you know, he is so focused on diversity because he thinks it really makes a big difference, and it does. And he's doing it for all the right reasons, and he thinks it's going to help them drive their business results.
Yeah, and I'm especially in the restaurant business where you've got so many stores like the company that you had. You want to reflect your customer base, understand those customers. If you have a diverse bunch of people coming into your stores, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, I always believe in this concept of being whole-brained, okay? You need to get all kinds of different people in the room with different backgrounds, different styles, different capabilities. You bring everybody together, then you become whole-brained. You're not half-brained. You become fully capable of making the best decisions.
I want to go back to culture, company culture. You talked about that a little bit. You actually called out President Trump at one point for bullying, his bullying style. And, you know, it looks like we might have some bipartisanship coming around in Washington, D.C. And, you know, without being partisan one way or the other, do you think that we have turned the corner maybe in Washington from a leadership perspective?
You know, I think the proof is really in the pudding on that. You know, I still think we have way too much divisiveness and not enough unity in our country. So, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll see more of a bipartisan approach in the future. But, you know, I don't really see it happening on either side, to be honest with you. And I'm a positive person. I think until we get a leader who can really galvanize the country and bring it together, we're going to be struggling on that front. But I think we're one leader away.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Let me ask you about labor shortages, because that's a huge issue right now. Is this going to be a drag on the restaurant industry, for instance, for a long time, or do you see it passing more quickly?
Yeah, well, you know, labor has always been the big challenge, but I think it's more difficult than ever now. I mean, everybody that I've talked to says it's never been harder to get the people to run the restaurant. So, you know, I think we're going through a down point at this stage in terms of, you know, the capacity of labor. But these things kind of ebb and flow, and it'll come back. Nothing's permanent.
Is the core problem here that businesses simply aren't paying people enough? I mean, isn't one solution we just got to start?
Well, I think there's been a lot of stimulus money that, you know, that's keeping people from working. Okay, I think that's one of the issues. Okay, but I think any business, you have to pay competitively to get talent. There's no business that's very successful for very long, okay, that doesn't pay competitively. But that's another reason why I believe in recognition. I think you got to get competitive wages, but people leave companies for two reasons. Number one, they don't get along with their boss, okay? And number two, they don't feel appreciated for what they do. And that's why I always said, you know, we don't want bosses, we want coaches, and we want to recognize people. And that's how you keep people. There are very few people who are going to change their life by walking across the street from KFC to Wendy's. Okay, you know, the compensation is pretty much the same, but you can change your life if you're working with a better leader. And you know, that's why another reason why I'm so passionate about doing everything I can to develop better leaders. And you know, it's absolutely essential to the success of our country. I always say, show me a good leader, I'll show you a good business. Show me, you know, when the country's booming, I'll tell you, there's usually a lot of good leadership behind it.
Got to ask you another economics question now, David, and that is about inflation, because that's starting to hit food restaurants as well, shortages in poultry, for instance. Yeah. Are you hearing from people in the business on that front?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, inflation is a factor today, and I would venture to say it's going to be a bigger factor in the next 24 months.
Earlier this year, I spoke to Yum China CEO Joey Watt.
Yes.
And she emphasized that Yum brands are very much a part of the community in which they serve and providing food and jobs for people around them. Is this a reflection of the leadership style that you had when you were CEO, do you think?
Yeah, well, I hope so. You know, I think what we always wanted to do was, you know, we wanted to be the defining global company that feeds the world. We wanted to be a part of our communities. We wanted to have a recognition culture. We wanted our brands to be vibrant. And we also focused on, you know, making a difference by feeding people who couldn't afford our food. So, yeah, I think that that's a key thing that we do. I mean, we wanted to put a yum on our customers' faces every time they come in. And, you know, we didn't do it all the time, obviously, but that was always our goal. And we think we are a big part of the community, and we provide jobs. And, you know, I think the restaurant business itself, Andy, is much maligned. You know, if you're a restaurant manager, you make $50,000 a year. The median household income in the United States is, I think, $47,000. So, you know, and then if you run five stores, you can make $75,000 to $100,000. We have many franchisees who've come up from the ranks and, you know, and own their own company. So I don't think there are too many businesses that give you opportunity more than the restaurant business.
And how has it changed since you started out? I mean, what's going on today that's different?
Well, I think what's the biggest thing is different now is this digital explosion. You know, everybody used to think about, you know, dining in, then you had the drive through, you know, now you got delivery and, you know, aggregators and, you know, the whole thing, you know, is just exploding on the convenience front. And I think that's dramatically different.
I mean, you're seeing people now, I think very soon, David, and correct me if I'm wrong, the expectation when you go into a fast food restaurant within the next year is you're going to be ordering from a kiosk.
Yeah. Well, we have kiosks in all our Taco Bells.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I think that's happening. And, you know, we were doing that in China 8 or 9 years ago, you know. So, you know, not in every restaurant, but we were definitely leading the way on that front. But, you know, I think if you just look at technology, I think Yum this year is spending with its franchisees almost $500 million in technology. So that's a lot of money, you know.
Hey, is it fair to ask you, if you had to pick a favorite between KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, which one would you choose?
I always say that's like picking your babies, you know. I can't do it. Never have, never will. I do have favorite products at each one.
Okay, give us that.
Okay, well, I love pan pizza at Pizza Hut, especially pepperoni lovers. I love original recipe at KFC. Nothing really beats it. And then at Taco Bell, I love the Crunchwrap.
There you go. Well, you know, that's got to carry some weight right there. Let me switch over and ask you a little bit about the Novak Leadership Institute at the University of Missouri. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, leadership isn't taught. You know, I mentioned earlier we're doing it in middle schools and high schools, and there are very few universities that are doing a great job of it. So I got together at the University of Missouri and Margaret Duffy, who's our chairman of our institute there. And, you know, we said we want to change that. We want to become the best practice school for how to develop leaders. And so we actually have 12 accredited hours on leadership at the University of Missouri, all based around my book, Taking People With You. And, you know, it's one of the favorite classes at the University of Missouri. And the Novak scholars that come out of that education, when it's time for them to go interview, they're three clicks ahead of everybody else. Okay, because they know how to really think through their situation, how to talk about leadership, because people are always trying to identify people who can take on more. You always hire for potential, and so I think leadership can be taught. You know, we're trying to lead the way at the University of Missouri, and hopefully we will become that best practice school, and more people will come to us. And it's starting to happen already.
And you do research there, too, because for instance, there's a study that just came out about millennials used to be job hoppers. They just wanted perks, but now they're much more interested in respectful communication and value. So
right.
You're doing research like that, too?
Yeah, we're doing research, you know, because I think, and we've researched the power of recognition, which is, you know, obviously a no-brainer. But, you know, it's one of those things where it makes so much common sense. But you know what? as someone has said, you know, common sense isn't that common. But it's like we're really trying. Universities should be developing leaders.
Right.
I mean, why wouldn't we have, you know, leadership program? There's a lot of curriculum out there that doesn't really add value when you think about how to go forward in your life. This, we think, will really make a big difference. And that's why also, Andy, you know, I'm doing this How Leaders Lead podcast. You know, through my contacts and through the people that I know, you know, I'm able to bring people, you know, access to the C-suite, access to leaders, hearing how they lead, learning from them. And, you know, I think that's powerful, too.
Right.
I think that would make a big difference.
Now, speaking of the University of Missouri, you went there. You went to the journalism school, one of the best journalism schools in the country.
Right.
You're a recovered journalist. Come on, man. I mean, how did you go from that to being an executive?
Well, the thing was, I majored in advertising. Okay. So when I loved to write, always loved to write, but what I really fell in love with was advertising and marketing, which was one part, you know, which is what I majored in at the J School. So I started on the advertising route, and by working in an advertising agency, handling the Frito-Lay account, I was then recruited by PepsiCo to go be the head of marketing for Pizza Hut. But that got it all started.
And you've written about and often discussed your humble origins, moved so many times in trailer parks growing up. And what perspective has that brought you throughout your career?
Well, you know, I lived in 23 states by the time I was in seventh grade. I lived in a trailer. Biggest house we lived in was 8 feet wide by 45 feet long. We basically moved every 3 months. And my mom told me, I'm going to check you into the school, but you better make friends. We're leaving. So that, I think, helped me tremendously because I had to go into new situations all the time and read the lay of the land. And I think it really helped my people skills. And, you know, people often would say, how did you know this about that person? Well, you know, you just kind of pick up instincts when you do that kind of travel and you have to meet so many new people. And we all go through our anxieties. And I think, you know, that helped me kind of work my way through them.
What is the most important lesson that you've learned, David, throughout all this, the humble origins, the advertising, running a billion-dollar business? What's the most important lesson or lessons that you want to pass on to up-and-coming business leaders?
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say you have to be a constant learner. You have to be a constant learner. Someone once told me, don't look up, don't look down, always look straight ahead. You're no better than anybody, and nobody's any better than you. Okay, so treat everybody the same, no matter whether they're above you or below you. But, you know, treat people with respect. You know, I think that's really important. And then there's no power. There's nothing more powerful than recognition. It is your secret weapon. And, you know, the people who show appreciation to other people have people rooting for them to be successful in the end. So those are three quick ones.
And what's next for you, David? What are you looking to accomplish in the years ahead?
Yeah, well, you know, I was really, you know, I loved running Yum Brands, but I like to say to everybody, I didn't know I could love something so much and miss it so little. Okay. Because I think I filled up my life with something that I'm extremely passionate about, which is leadership development. So, you know, my goal is to build this leadership company that we have. It's a private operating foundation. But I want to get digital leadership training, my podcast, How Leaders Lead podcast. I want to get all of that. Just I want more and more people getting access to it. And I want more and more people learning from the people that I've been able to learn from. And I want to pass on my learning. I've got another book coming out in February, which is called Take Charge of You, how to use self-coaching to transform your life and career. And, you know, I think people are frustrated because they don't have the coaches that they're looking for. And so, you know, your life and your career is too important to put it in somebody else's hands. You know, learn how to coach yourself. And all, by the way, you know, all the good leaders that I talk to, you know, have done a pretty good job of building self-awareness, figuring it, getting insights, finding what their joy is, and coaching themselves. And I would bet, Andy, you're a very good self-coach, or you wouldn't be where you're at today.
Yeah, I'm learning from the master as we speak right here, David, that's for sure. And anyway, some really great wisdom coming from David Novak, CEO of David Novak Leadership and former CEO of Yum Brands. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
You've been watching Influencers. I'm Andy Serwer. We'll see you next time.